If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and on today's show, we are going to be continuing our interviews from the Janesville Metaphysical and Paranormal Expo. We had a great time there, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Myself, Ma, and Resnick all in attendance down there doing interviews all weekend with the celebrities and TV personalities and the vendors at this event. And today we have two of those such people on. Up first is going to be Natalie Jones, no relation. And she is the producer and owner of Paraflix, which is a streaming service that you can check out all the cool paranormal and stuff shows that they have on there. She'll be telling you all about that. And then second on today's show is going to be Mike Huberty. He is the owner and operator of American Ghost Walk Tours, and he has tours all over the United States and Puerto Rico and all over, and he will have his crew take you around the cities and give you some history of the locations. And he'll be up next on today's show. And now it's time for Ma's Book Corner.
Yay!
Ma, you are here with me today, so why don't you give us a little update on what have you been reading this week?
Well, it has nothing to do with your talks here, but, you know, it was a good book. Voices in the Wilderness by Ron Moorhead.
I think that has everything to do with Mike Huberty.
You think so? He has a lot of voices in the wilderness?
Voices in the Wilderness.
Any voice. Okay. It's his true story. Of his involvement in the Sierra Sounds recordings and the research of Bigfoot in the Sierras of California. He tells of all his journeys to and from the camp, with all the good and the bad that happens along the way, and he does it just for the sake of evidence and research.
So for those of you who don't know out there, who is Ron Moorhead is pretty famous. Ron Moorhead is the person who recorded the Sierra Sounds. The Sierra Sounds are... are you going to get to that?
No, that's what I just said.
Oh, but, I know, but okay. You don't explain what the Sierra Sounds were.
No. You got to read the book.
The Sierra Sounds... I know you said all that, but that didn't help anybody understand what the Sierra Sounds were. The Sierra Sounds are... basically a recording of supposedly what Bigfoot was communicating up in the Sierra Mountains and the samurai chatter and stuff. And you can go and check that out on YouTube. There's plenty of recordings of that. Oh, continue.
Okay. And in here, he tells that he's the first to admit now all the mistakes and the bad choices he made along the way, because there's a lot that happens. I mean, they're good stories and they make you feel like you're right there with them. I'm sure it would have been better if I would have had the recordings, because it's recommended in the book. And along the book, it tells you right when to play which recording. You know, you can buy the companion recordings to go along with this book,
which I have.
Yeah, but he didn't give them to me when I was reading the book. But I have listened to them, so I knew pretty much what they were talking about along the way. But, yeah, this is really cool because there's a lot of information in here that people don't know, you know, of what happened. And I mean, he talks about the pack mules and, you know, and the poor animals did this and that. And, you know, and I just found it entertaining. And
like to the fact that the pack mules were affected by the Bigfoot and stuff?
No, just the journeys.
Oh.
Yeah, how rough it was on everybody. And, you know, bad choices they made along the way. But, you know, who survived and who didn't?
Oh, poor donkeys.
I didn't say they didn't survive. I just said who survives and who doesn't.
Well, we know Ron Moorhead survives. He's still around today. Yeah, so there's also...
Spoiler.
There's also... Well, he didn't write the book if he didn't survive. There's also two companion CDs to that. I don't know if they're specifically both to that, but there's the one where it's just like the Sierra Sounds themselves, and then there's also one that kind of tells the whole story, which is narrated by Jonathan Frakes, who is Commander William Riker on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I've purchased both those CDs from Ron Moorhead, and we actually listened to them on the way up to Rhinelander, Wisconsin, when we were traveling up there one day. So,
it's a good book. Ron Moorhead's Voices in the Wilderness.
Very good. All right, and without any further ado, let's get on to our interviews with Natalie Jones and Mike Huberty. All right, our next guest here on Whispers from the Dark is Mike Huberty. How you doing?
Fantastic. Just enjoying the Janesville Meta Para Pro Expo here with everybody. Nice to meet the good people of Janesville. Interested in weird stuff, so just right up our alley, Barnaby.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There's definitely a lot of weird people walking around, a lot of weird stuff set up here, and I mean that in the best way, obviously.
Exactly.
I mean, there's nothing against anybody here, and you meet a lot of different people at these events, you know.
And people who are interested in things that I'd never even heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking to somebody like who reads tea leaves or something. Mm-hmm. Or I talked to a guy today who's got a Ouija board that was a dial that, yeah, a dial with letters around it. And you would have everybody, like, you know, how you two people have their fingers on the planchette of a Ouija board.
Yeah.
And so he, like, everybody in the seance or whatever puts their hands around the dial, and it's where it moves to each letter or the yes or no thing. I'd never seen that before, and he wanted to show me everything.
I've never seen that before either.
And so that kind of stuff is really fun, to see things and meet people who know about stuff that not only you get maybe like, oh, I don't know enough about this, I want to know more. It's like, no, I never even heard of it before.
Definitely.
So that's why we go to these things, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You meet all kinds of interesting people and mm-hmm. stories and stuff. And so speaking of stories, Mike,
yes.
You have your own business.
That's right.
What do you do?
Okay, so...
here we go.
All right, here
we go.
Right? No, American Ghost Walks, my company, we do haunted history stories, plus other paranormal stuff. So if there's a UFO or a lake monster or anything like that, we throw that in there, in different cities around the country. So my sister, Allison Jordan, who's been a guest, and she's whispered in the dark before,
she
I believe.
She has, yes.
Don't tell her husband. my sister Allison started a haunted history tour in Milwaukee in 2008. I followed a couple years later with a haunted history tour in Madison. And now we have haunted history tours in 20 different cities. Minneapolis, Chicago, Bar Harbor in Maine. We're just starting out. All over Wisconsin. And then even San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Maui on Hawaii.
Wow. That is impressive. How do you keep all that stuff straight?
Very poorly. No, we got a great crew, great coordinator and stuff, and it's just a lot of fun. We got excellent guides who have taken the research, made the stories their own, and just made it to be a fun way to connect with a city. You know, you might not have thought of it before. You're like, I think the best way to get in touch with a place is not only knowing its history, but knowing the beliefs of the people who live there. Mm-hmm. And there's religious beliefs, and then there's political beliefs, and then there's paranormal beliefs. Like, what are the superstitions of the people? What are the places they don't like to go, or kind of Where did they used to go in high school when they were, wanted to get scared? And I really feel that because, you know, that's how I live in Madison, Wisconsin. And so I've came there for college, enjoyed it, loved it. The people in Madison were great to me and stuff. But once I kind of did the research in a haunted history tour and started walking around downtown, talked to the people that worked at the businesses, got the history of the place, then I felt finally like connected to it. Like this is this, there's always like a stereotype about American Indians, like the feeling, the connection to the land, you know, and that's because their culture and people have been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years in some cases. And so me coming in as like a Polack from Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
To feel connection to the land, learning the history and the ghost stories and the legends of the place is what made me feel connected to Madison. And so I finally kind of understood what people are talking about when they talk about feeling connected to the land.
That's really cool. So do you actually do the tours? Like, have you guided them in the past?
That's how I started.
Okay.
So really, it was like learning the stories, writing a script. And then for the first year, I was like, Michael, take you around Madison. You know, I put up a website and just started doing that in the fall of 2010. Allison, my sister, she sent me a couple of stories. She's like, hey, I've got a couple of things in Madison. You can use these. I'm like, okay, that was a start. Now it was just wandering around to each place, talking to people, developing a script. After that first couple of years, I started getting other people who could run the tours so that I could have, you know, I didn't have to work every weekend. And then I moved to Minneapolis for a couple of years. My wife graduated law school up there, and she wanted to take a job. So we moved to the Twin Cities. And then I couldn't run them in Madison anymore. So I was like, okay, we're living in Minneapolis. What's in Minneapolis? So started a haunted history tour there. And then once I figured out, like, oh, I don't have to be the guy running these tours. I can run these remotely. Other people can deliver them. I can be in the place to just research and set it up and customer service and things. Then I was like, let's see where else we can go. And so then it's kind of started spreading from there. Once we were able to figure out how do we do these things in other cities, then it was, okay, let's go to that city, do the research, find a route, teach it to some guides, and the business kind of grew from there. So then I went out to Lake Geneva in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Dells. The water park capital is also haunted, don't forget. Then Waukesha, Wisconsin, near the area I grew up, kind of thing. So it started just, let's find these places that don't have ghost tours and help other people feel that connection to the city the way I felt once I learned those stories about Madison.
I think it's really cool that you actually went to the places and did the research instead of just, you know, you hear the stories or read other people's books and you just like copy it down or whatever and regurgitate the information. But, you know, you've gone out and investigated them and talked to the people and stuff and annoyed the
business owners. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was part of it. It's like walking in, it's like, hey, I know this is going to sound weird, but is your place haunted? And sometimes they're like, what? Get out of here. And then sometimes they're like, well, I know of at least two different ghosts. And they're like, what? And then you get the story. And then once you find out, like, okay, these are the paranormal experiences that people happen. Now, how does that connect with the history of the building? How does the history of the building then connect with the history of the town? And then you form that into, like, here's a route where if you take our tour, hopefully you'll understand the history of the town, the history of the places that you're seeing and the people that lived there and worked there, died there, and may still be there, and then the paranormal experiences, like, on the top of that. And so that's what we kind of try to do in each place, so you feel that you've taken it's a spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. Right. So, yeah, now you know the history of a place. You know a whole bunch of stuff about it that you didn't know before. And you discovered it through learning about the ghost stories, because the ghosts are part of the history. They're people that live there. They're, you know, and that's, you know, what makes it fun. Like, well, here's a ghost of the governor of the place. Okay. Now we learn about the governor. When was he governor? When did it happen? How did the state get founded? All those things come together where now by learning the fun ghost stories, you now have an understanding of how the place came to be.
That's definitely neat. It's not just well, at this house, this happened, this and this. But the right. whole history of the city is there as well.
Right, and that's really what we're trying to winnow down to. So you're discovering a lot of things about the place in addition to boogity boogity like this. Like, oh my God. People see, you know, what do people see here? What was it related to? How does it relate to the route you're walking? You know, you could be walking on a highway that used to be an Indian trail. You know, I mean, a lot of our Wisconsin roads are, you know, they just because they're paved now doesn't mean that they haven't been roads for people for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And in, you know, growing up here, I didn't know half that stuff. And so getting to learn half that stuff has been exciting for me. And then learning it in different places that I visit and explore, working with the people who live there. I mean, all of our guides are people who've lived in these places, have connection to these places. That, you know, I'd love to hire high school actors for everything because it'd be cheap. But it's not going to be the same as experience as talking to somebody who's a lifer. Like in Chicago, when you talk to our guides, now you've had Tony on the show.
Tony's right? been on our show before, yep.
And hear Tony talk. Like, He's walking out of the Bears skit. You know, it's just, he's a quintessential Chicago guy that has a passion for this, loves the history, is a brilliant storyteller, and then he can deliver that in a way of, you feel like you're getting a quintessential Chicago experience when you're hanging out with him on a tour. And that's what we try to do in each place.
Yeah, I told him in person, I guess I'll tell you as well, like, he was very good. Very mm-hmm. good at what he did. He knew the history of all of Chicago that we went around, and you could ask him any questions regarding anything in the city, and he had answers. And it wasn't just the tour itself. I mean, he went above and beyond everything that we asked, and you know, anybody in the group asked him and stuff. So
and of course, we're dealing with the paranormal here, and we're dealing with ghost stories and UFO sightings and lake monster sightings and things like that. So through all these different things, and acting like we can be experts in the stories and the history, but someone claiming that they're an expert in the paranormal, like, that's a pretty iffy subject. So what we also try to do is not make anything up and tell people, like, okay, well, this is one possible explanation that people have had. This is the kind of phenomena that people had, and it connects to these other kind of, like, if it's a poltergeist or if it's a cryptid or if it's a weird feeling people get when they go into a certain place. How does this connect with other kinds of experiences that people have had? So you kind of put that all together, and you don't try to tell people, like, well, this was definitely a demon. Don't let me, you know, of course that's a demon. Like, what? You try to go in and say, like, this is the traditional explanation that people have had. This ties into the folklore of the community. This might tie into the religion of the people that live here. And you try to make it so you're delivering an interesting story, number one, without stepping on anybody's religious toes or things like that and their sensibilities. But number two, not claiming that you're an expert in the otherworldly, because I don't think that'd be fair to the guests.
Definitely, yeah. That's really cool. So, but this isn't all that you do either. Like, you have a band that you're in, correct?
Yeah, I've been in a band for a long time with a guitar player and a drummer. We're called Sunspot, and we often sing songs about the paranormal, you know, and that was because, like, a lot of people sing great love songs, but do a lot of people sing great love songs about werewolves? Yeah. No, like, how could we, you know, how could we
werewolves
make
Werewolves of London was a great love song.
But we would, you know, we would take these stories that we were inspired by and interested in and try to make music out of them. And we would take that as inspiration. So we have an album called Weirdest Hits. Like, are they the greatest hits? Probably not. Are they the weirdest? Absolutely. And so putting together, like, some of the stories we've heard and thing, and stories that directly on our tour have then been translated into music that we've created and recorded and stuff, and we perform these at paranormal conventions or sometimes just at the local bar.
Yeah, I know a lot of the events that we've been at, you guys have performed at as, like, the spotlight of that night or whatever on the stage.
A little bit of entertainment, yeah. And that's, I mean, the reason that I started Ghost Tours, beyond the fact that I was inspired by my sister who'd done the one in Milwaukee and I saw that she was doing well, was that I'd come off a tour with the band and I didn't have a job. Like, we've been playing all summer. It was great. And then I get back home to Madison. And I'm like, okay, I still got to pay rent. How am I going to do that? And so it was August. So, like, well, I could get the ghost tour going by September and then pay rent to the end of the year if I get enough people for Halloween. So music is my first love, and then with the paranormal as an inspiration, but that eventually led me to being like, okay, I got to make money. How am I going to do it? Let's, you know, Allison, I see Allison's got a ghost tour. She's got a couple stories for me. Let's get this thing going. And then kind of, you know, grew into it.
So your sister and you are both into the paranormal and stuff. Is this something that, like, ran in the family then, or how did you get interested in it?
I mean, my dad likes ghost stories, whatever, but my parents did not believe in any of this stuff. He's a science teacher. My mother is a very practical woman. And so they have no, but they would take us on the haunted history tours when we would go on vacation for fun, you know. We always watched a lot of horror movies and things like that at home. And so they were very supportive, and they were like, oh, this is cool and stuff. But if I said I was scared of a ghost, they'd be like, get out of town. But, you know, my sister and I were always interested in this. Like, before the Ghost Hunters, before reality TV, you had That's Incredible and Real People. You had, like, these TV shows that occasionally would feature ghost stories. And when they would, I would be running towards it. You know, I'd be like, okay, what's this? The Haunted Toys R Us? I want to hear all about it. You know, that's a classic.
Same.
Right, everyone's in their kid. And so you hear about those things, and that gets you excited because I love great genre fiction. I love supernatural fiction, Stephen King and Dean Koontz, you know, those guys. And, of course, going back to Henry James and The Turn of the Screw, the Victorian ghost stories, Jane Eyre. They have all that great stuff. However, I got really excited when people would tell real stories. What happened to you? Like, fiction is great. I love the Marvel Universe. Yeah, Iron Man, who's Spider-Man, awesome. But what I also like is, what are the real things that happen to people? What are their real experiences? And so that's kind of what I wanted to focus on, because fiction is fun, but real is better.
So you do the walking tours and everything. Do you also do your own paranormal investigations?
I've done a few myself. I'm not a psychic. I'm about as psychic as a brick, you know?
Brick still knows when it's going to hit a window.
Right, that's about it. That's about it. That is about it. But, like, we've definitely had a chance to do some very cool paranormal investigations, like, oh, I'd like the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. That, you know, personally, when I was a kid in high school and stuff, I'd go to haunted sites and things. Whenever, legend tripping, right? Whenever there was something that came up, like, it had to do with it, I would make my friends go out there on a Friday night. You know, and you bring your girlfriends and stuff, and they get a little scared too. That's great. You know, everybody gets together and has a little scare. It's fun. It's like the horror movies. But they were real. We used to call them Fright Nights and go out on Friday. Actually, at this convention, I'm going to talk about a couple different experiences I had when we went out on those different nights back then. But like going to a place and investigating, like, been down to the old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee. We got to do an investigation of the Greene County Asylum, right, in the county over. That was a funny one, because my wife heard about this from the people that worked there. So my wife is an attorney at a nonprofit, and she was, like, doing a presentation on Medicare or something at this, at the, like, the Greene County Health and Human Services Department. And so she's there talking to the secretaries and stuff about, like, when they're setting up, when she was about to go do her presentation. And then they said, oh, if something weird happens, don't worry, that's just a ghost. And she's like, what? And she goes, oh, yeah, they're about to tear this place down, and they're building a new health and human services building. And so when they tear it down, once the ghost activity really picked up, whenever we talk about this building being demolished, that's when weird things happen. Papers fly off desks, cups get knocked off cupboards, like the whole thing, and they were definitely convinced. My wife's like, okay, she goes, I don't care about this, but you should really, can I call my husband and tell him about this? They're like, absolutely. They're like, does he do investigations? We'd love people to check it out. And so, like, I called him up, and then, you know, right before it got demolished, they let us go through and do an investigation and everything, and they were convinced that paranormal activity was happening there. And these are people who are, like, they have to work there every single day. And that's the kind of stuff that really interests me, because it's not like us as ghost hunters or paranormal investigators, like, we're seeking this out. These are people who it sought them out, and it's annoying to them. And that's when it's like, that's when it's interesting to me, because, like, okay, because that's when it feels real.
Yep.
And so we got a chance to do a lot of like fun investigations like that. As far as part of the American Ghost Walks Company, we do have ghost hunts in the Chicago area that we do Lincoln Park, Prairie Avenue. Also, sometimes we'll do this spiritual church in Cicero, Illinois. And that's where people break out the EMF meters and do the whole thing in EVPs and try to get paranormal evidence. Most of our tours don't involve investigation because, well, when, like let's say you're a guy bringing along your wife, or usually it's the wife bringing along the husband or whatever, and he comes along. I don't think he doesn't want to sit around for 15 minutes waiting for electronic voice phenomena to come back. So we want to make sure that it's fun for everybody. Even if you're not into paranormal stuff, you're still getting the history and the ghost stories, and maybe not necessarily waiting to see if your EMF meter is going to peak at a certain point. But we do have events for people who like us who dig that kind of stuff too.
Cool. That's really cool. So do you have any big events coming up?
Right now, well, I just had a baby, so no big events coming up. But right now, we're going to be sponsoring the Milwaukee Paranormal Convention 2022. We'll be sponsoring that October 15th. So that's going to be our next big thing, where we're helping with the programming and sponsoring it and making sure that we show people the best of southeastern Wisconsin kind of paranormal lore. It's going to be a free event, number one, for everybody. And then number two, we're also going to focus on local. So if you're interested in feeling that connection with southeastern Wisconsin or the Milwaukee area and stuff, like when I talk about the feeling connected to Madison or the different cities that I've researched, then you're definitely going to want to check it out, because you're going to learn stuff about your town and your area that you've never heard before.
Absolutely. I know we were at Capsules there last year.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. A lot of people.
Yeah, and we're going to make it even more fun this year. So that's the next big event we're focused on as far as inviting people and stuff. But we'll definitely have more specialty events and things like that, you know, coming up that are a lot of fun. We do a once a month in Chicago area. We do a Resurrection Mary tour, where people can go on Archer Avenue and they can take the path of Chicago's most famous ghost, Resurrection Mary, which is a classic hitchhiker ghost that has been picked up and disappeared from cabs, cars, all kinds of stuff over the past 70 years.
So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that actually, because the hitchhiker ghost is like an urban legend more so.
Right.
You know, this story pops up in all over the country, world, everything.
And we have, you know, the hitchhiker ghost is also similar to La Llorona, that every Spanish-speaking country in the Western Hemisphere has, you know, also this ghost that appears in the cars of people driving by. So in North America, we have the more traditional hitchhiker ghost, where you pick somebody up and you're driving by their old home or the cemetery and they disappear. Very similar thing happens in Spanish-speaking countries. San Antonio's got a famous one. Puerto Rico also has a La Llorona bridge. Mexico, I think each state in Mexico, you know, has their own. But it seems like almost every Spanish-speaking country has their own version of this, which is just like the hitchhiker ghost. A little bit more tragic, because it's a woman who killed her children and then she's wailing for them, kind of thing. Like, a little more terrifying. But it's just a very similar thing, where like the ghost will appear in the back seat, or they pick somebody up, they disappear on the bridge where it's supposed to happen. That is an urban legend that's very similar in these different places. However, I've talked to people who I trust that have had hitchhiker ghost experiences. Now, is that because something paranormal is happening to them and the hitchhiker ghost is like how they compute it, if that makes sense? They're experiencing something supernatural, and the hitchhiker is just the thing that their brain can figure out, because it's an urban legend, because it's already there. Okay. But I've met a guy who had a Resurrection Mary experience, and he's like dead straight normal kind of thing, and he's just like, yeah, like I picked her up and she disappeared. I don't know, man. And so when you talk to people like that, you're like, okay, well, they experienced something. Was it the ghost of actually the Mary Bregovy who was dancing and then, you know, died in a tragic car accident on the way home? Was it a ghost like that? Well, I don't know. Was it the spirit of her, you know? But people have had that, like more than one person has had that experience over the past 80 years in the Chicago area of picking up a hitchhiker, thinking it was just a normal girl, And then when they get by the cemetery, she disappears, or she opens the car door and runs out and then into the night. And so, you know, that's the thing. That's what makes it fun, is that we don't know the answer. Because if we did know the answer, like, let's just say it was just like normal. Oh, like, oh, yeah, that's just the ghost just running back to the cemetery. there wouldn't be that idea of the great beyond, the great unknown associated with it. So all of those possibilities kind of what makes it exciting to me.
So where can people find your tours, and where can they hook up with you and Sunspot and all that stuff?
I can find all of our tours at AmericanGhostWalks.com, and SunspotUniverse.com is where you can find our latest single, and the latest paranormal-inspired song is SunspotUniverse.com, and then come visit us for a tour at AmericanGhostWalks.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Barnaby. Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. You go have fun at your speaking thing now.
Oh, yeah. I guess. hey, this is good practice. I appreciate it.
There you go. Yeah.
Whispers from the Dark will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors.
Do you want to do a real paranormal investigation of a well-documented haunted location? Here's your chance. Join our team as we continue the investigations of the Gaynor Tavern, currently Bean Stamper's Gentleman Club in Mackville, Wisconsin.
Originally built in 1877, the building was served as a general store, blacksmith shop, tavern, post office, dance hall, and bar. The building was originally built by Michael Gaynor and remained in the family for five generations before being sold to Bean Snappers in 1993. Throughout documented history, the building has been hit four times and burned twice, with four recorded deaths on the property.
Some of the most notable paranormal claims that we have documented are a male disembodied voice, a female disembodied voice, objects moving, doors opening and closing, lights turning on and off, knocking in response to questions, the sound of someone sitting down next to you on furniture, physical interactions including being touched, hair brushed, and scratched, and other unexplained responses through our equipment, which include a REM pod, EMF meter, and an obelisk.
Bring your own equipment, or we have some you can use while you're here. Audio and video recording is encouraged. Here is your chance to investigate the paranormal. For the very first timers to the experienced professionals, we can walk you through, or you can take the lead. The time is yours. Ask your questions and get your answers. Limited space is available for tours, so make sure you purchase your tickets in advance at wisconsincaps.com. Click on the Gaynor's Tavern link under Public Events. Hey guys, are you looking for the next piece of ghost hunting equipment that will really help you out on your next investigation? If so, I'm sure you're familiar with Ghost Stop. If not, you should really check them out. They have everything you could ever need on your journey into the unknown. And if you visit wisconsincaps.com and click on the Ghost Stop banners, any purchase you make on their website, Caps gets a commission. You don't pay a penny more than shopping on their website directly, but you do help us out with every purchase you make from our link. Visit wisconsincaps.com and click on the Ghost Stop banner to get everything from night vision cameras, EVP recorders, infrared lights, spirit boxes, and so much more at a really great price. All right, our next guest on Whispers from the Dark is Natalie Jones. How are you doing?
I am doing very well today. How are you, Barnaby?
I'm good. A little tired. Been a long weekend, but we're hanging in here.
Yeah, hasn't it? It's been a weekend.
Yeah, it definitely has.
So technically, we're on day two, but we've been here since Friday.
Yeah.
Because we had the VIP dinner. Wasn't that just something?
It was something, yeah.
Well, and that's how you and I first met, because we ended up sitting right next to each other at the VIP dinner table.
Jones and Jones.
Jones and Jones.
No relation.
No relation. No. Same color hair.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. We got that going for us there.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So for those of you who may not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I am president and CEO of Paraflix Paranormal Plus. It is the new streaming service dedicated to the paranormal, supernatural, universe and beyond, and then some. We launched last year. It's just been an incredible journey. My business partner was Patty Negri, and we co-founded Paraflix Paranormal Plus with Nicholas Bonani as well. And, you know, when we came together, we just truly were not prepared just for how phenomenal it really is. It's like written in the stars, right? That type of experience. But the streaming service, the platform, is one of a kind. There's nothing else out there on the market like it. And it is a subscription app, just like Discovery Plus, Amazon Prime, and all of those other great ones that we love. And what's great about Paraflix is, you know, not is it just, so, you know, around all of this passion that unites us, but about 90% of the content is exclusive. I am just so grateful and humbled to be here with everybody, especially meeting Rob Thompson from the Ghost Finders, because of course the Ghost Finders are streaming on Paraflix, and we have Shadow Hunters Paranormal Investigations and Events as well, that's streaming on Paraflix. So, you know, Paraflix Paranormal Plus is a really big part of what I do. I'm also an author. I wrote Awaken the Higher Self, Bringing Darkness to Light. And I also have another book in the works called The Little Secret Book of Life coming out this year. And I am also a paranormal investigator. I founded Ghost Hunter Girls in 2018. And it's been a journey. I love to, you know, collaborate and learn as much as I can. So, you know, there's a few other things, but that's, you know.
you're very busy.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I'm a mother of three, so that's my most prized possession, you know, this lifetime. It's definitely a blessing, and they keep me in check.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I may have missed. Are you a medium too, or just an investigator?
Yes, I am. I do have psychic medium abilities, let's say that. So I have experiences, you know, with that, and whether it be, you know, different messages that come through during hypnagogic state of consciousness for me, are some of them. When I allow myself to open up, the way it works is I will get either third eye flashes or just have, you know, that feeling and those thoughts that I know are not of my own, that usually are turn out to be confirmed and, you know, really neat to kind of help in that way. So I definitely have abilities. I'm clairsentient as well. So that one's been interesting along the way, because sometimes I feel things from others, you know, especially if it has to do with, you know, me. And it can be tough to feel those emotions, you know, but what's even greater about that is I not only appreciate it, but it's helped me a lot on residential cases, you know, with those who are dealing with certain things, and maybe they have in the past, for example, have not been able to like really come out and talk about certain things. So it helps me to navigate. So that's why I term the word paranormal navigator, because it's more than investigating. We have these abilities that help us navigate, and that's really what's really you know, for me and my journey with these abilities has been the most rewarding part of it, is being able to help others that way and really get, you know, help them get down to the real deal, you know.
Cool. So you used a word that I'm not familiar with, the hypnagogic.
Oh.
So what can you tell about a little bit about that?
So hypnagogic state of consciousness. So that's just simply, you know, we have our beta, alpha, theta, delta. When we're in delta, we're fully asleep. We're right now, you and I are like in full on beta, like going crazy at this event. You know, so when you get down into your alpha, theta, and those brain waves really start slowing down, and you're able to get in a meditative state and reconnect with the heart center, elevate that, reconnect to spirit. You know, that's our direct link to our subconscious and to the, you know, the infinite potential of the consciousness and the collective consciousness and the universe and all of that. So when you get into that hypnagogic, you're right there in that that alpha theta, that theta, more of a theta, right before you fall asleep. And I've had some pretty profound communications come through during that time. Some have like startled me to where I, you know, I wake back up and I jump out of bed and I go write it down, because it's so profound and exciting. Yeah, so that is what hypnagogic state of consciousness is, yeah.
Okay. I know Patty last night was talking about like a cup of water by your bedside.
Right.
And that's kind of like what you were saying with the, right when you're falling asleep or something, you get those
Communications,
yeah, from the other side. Can you elaborate more on that at all? Or?
Right. So, again, I think because you're slowing down and you're disconnecting from the external, the world, you're turning more into the internal, and the physiological, you know, part of that with the mind and the brain and everything is going down into that subconscious, slower awareness where you, again, connect with spirit and consciousness and all of that. So when you have that strong connection, then you're listening, and that's when those communications come in. And it may be different for, you know, one person to another, but if you have that intention, you know, it's all about universal law as well, right? So we have our free will and our intention and our life force. So if we have the intention to allow those communications to come through, then that will enable it to open up even more. Then the universe will say, ah, okay, well, you'd like to communicate here and listen, and we have this message for you, and you might be pleasantly surprised. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of practice, and we all have access to the same gifts and abilities, so why not?
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's a very common theme and stuff. A lot of the mediums and psychics and stuff say that everyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have any advice for somebody that's trying to, like, open that up and be more receptive to it?
Again, we have been so programmed, and with that comes a very worldly, a worldly view, a perception, and a lot of connection to lower vibrational energy in this third dimension. So the best things that you can do, again, are disconnecting from the external, from all of these other things that truly are, you know, it's a construct. You know, not even time is what we think it is. So tuning all of that out and reconnecting with spirit through meditation, I would say, you know, even if you just start out with 5 minutes a day, but meditating daily, journaling, and, you know, setting those intentions and starting to develop more of a positive perception of reality through, you know, there's many different things that you can do. You know, and one of the other things that I do personally to stay grounded and to kind of have like that walking meditation where you're fully aware, you're not thinking about the past or the future that doesn't exist, you know, in that present moment, because that's where it's at. And that's where we have most of our creative abilities, is right there in that present awareness, because we're constantly creating. We're very powerful creative beings. And so, you know, slowing all of that down and being aware of that and taking time to really tune that out and be connected to spirit, over time you'll be able to learn how to do like a walking meditation where you're in full awareness and really just like flowing through life, just really like flowing through your day in a very state of peace where the chaos isn't able to really come in. And so the more and more you're in that peaceful state or that meditative state, then your spirit's hanging out, because our spirit is a very highly refined, intelligent form of matter, unconditional love. And so all of the lower vibrations, whose root pattern is fear and, you know, hate or anger or jealousy or those types of emotions, or not feeling, not feeling happy or joy or whatever that may be. You know, a lot of times, going back to that programming, is that we've been so programmed to rely on external people, places, and things to find that inner peace, that inner joy. So it's about, again, getting back to that inner peace and that inner joy and having that regular connection. The more of the longer term you have that regular connection, the more you'll start to see things open up and different types of communications come through. Yeah.
A lot of times people now are so connected with their phones. You always have that in your hand. You're always listening to something on the radio or TV and having that interaction, you know, and a lot of what you're saying is like, you know, we need to step back from that and be more content with ourselves and just being in the moment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
That's very good.
Imagine if all of us could do it. But, you know, with different different types of areas of study and with science and physics and all of that, you know, we do have superfluidity, you know, which is, it only takes 1% in order to have an effect on the collective. So, you know, you never know. Why wouldn't that apply to all of us? Yeah. On a micro level and, you know, for the macro, it's like that one speck of sand is still a part of that one molecule in the ocean. So
you were saying that you're part of a paranormal team as well?
Yes. So I founded Ghost Hunter Girls back in 2018, and it started out with myself and another girl. I invited her to, you know, start the team with me, but she was only with me for about 6 months. You know, she went off, she started a family. It turned out, you know, we don't choose this. It chooses us, right? It's a part of who we are, spiritual DNA. For her, she, you know, it turned out she's got a really great path in life, but it wasn't meant for, you know, to really be doing this type of work. And so we also started off with my director of photography, Joey, who he's also, you know, still with me. So over the years, I've done a lot of different types of work, collaborating with different teams and, you know, going to different locations. But again, my niche is really in residential cases anyways. So, yeah.
So where are you based out of, like, around?
So I live in Dallas, Texas. Okay. Yes, and I've been there since 1998. Yeah.
So do you do a lot of work down there, or do you travel around and do all your investigations?
I can help long distance because I am also a Reiki master, so I'm able to, you know, send some long distance healing energy and all of that and give blessings. And most of my work though has in that regard has been with residential cases, has been local. I have not taken on any of those types of cases in a while, especially since I've had all of this other work that I've started over the last year and a half. So at some point, though, I would like to get back to that, you know, and I always help where I can. Actually, my first book, Awaken the Higher Self, Bringing Darkness to Light, I wrote that because I'm only one person, and a lot of the knowledge and everything in helping those in these types of situations, I was able to write in self-therapy format, if that's the right word. I don't like to use self-help or necessarily self-therapy, but it's written in a way where that knowledge, they can take that knowledge and apply it themselves. What I've come to, like, really know and understand is that a lot of times it's just about someone having the knowledge that they need, that light going on, and then they're able to take charge of their free will and their life to you know, correct and do everything that they need to do to clear all of that out, right? So I wrote the book, and you know, when I wrote it, I knew even if it was meant for one person or just helped one person, that's what it was meant for. But it's turned out that it has helped many, and now I'm here, you know, of course, doing these sorts of things as well, not just with my book, but also with Paraflix Paranormal Plus, and I travel a lot to some of these with Patty now as well. So it's just overall, it's exciting.
Very cool. So yeah. Is your book self-published, or are you published for company? Where can people find it?
So the publisher is BMK Publishing, and you can find it on Amazon, or you can go to awakenthehigherself.com if you'd like a personalized autographed copy.
Cool. And do you still do like personal readings and stuff, or you don't have time for that? Or
I will help anyone anywhere I can. I've never charged for any type of reading in that sense. Like I said, I have psychic medium abilities, but I don't advertise for readings and those sorts of things. Okay. My area is really helping others as a dark energy healing facilitator and a Reiki master, and helping with the energy and the knowledge to heal from within. Okay. Instead of relying on external places, people, places, and things, or any, even external tools. I think anything at our disposal at our fingertips, or what may work for one person may work for another, yes. But at the end of the day, all truth and healing comes by the light. And so sometimes some of those things can just be a temporary Band-Aid. So mm-hmm. I stick by what I know what works, and I know that the knowledge that I have or the help that I can give, whoever it's meant for, they'll cross my path, and I just try to help, you know, one day at a time and do what I can. So
we've talked on the show before about, like, with other mediums and stuff that, you know, when people are having problems in their house and that, and, you know, when it's something that's affected or attached to them, you know, they want someone to come in and help them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've learned and stuff, and, you know, like you were even saying, a lot of that is got to be coming from them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's life choices that they have to make and realize that they need to do something and raise their vibration to help get rid of that stuff.
Right. A lot of times it's turning in a new direction, because even by some of our, you know, our thoughts and choices and all of that, we, you know, may not even realize we're giving passive permission for some of these lower energies. And this is all a part of universal law. No one gets out of it. So again, and you're absolutely correct. So that's what it's all about, is having that knowledge where the light can go on. Because as we know as well, another moving part in this is that, you know, we cannot help somebody that truly doesn't want to help themselves. So this really puts the proof in the pudding. If they really want to help themselves, here it is. And, you know, they're able to. And of course, you know, having that, but then, you know, if let's say someone reads my book, for example, and then comes to me and you know, asks for further help, or it may not even be about, you know, reading my book, like in some of these situations that we're referring to. Yes, if they, you know, they want to help themselves and they're able to, you know, turn in a different direction and all of that, it's just, it's a daily progression, you know, because every day brings a new different experience that we may not be expecting. But what I've come to teach and learn and know and understand is that it's about 1% of what actually happens to us, and that's being generous. And the other 99% of how we respond, not react.
Yeah, I hear that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, where can people get a hold of you? Where are you going to be and stuff? This will probably air, like I said, probably in July.
Exciting.
So.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's been amazing to finally meet you in person
you
as
too?
Well.
Yep.
And you can find Paraflix at paraflix.com. That's paraflix.com. And my personal professional website is natalieannjones.com. And Ann is with an E. And all of the links to my social media, all of my events, and links to, you know, all of my other work that I do are found on that website as well, including the link to Ghost Hunter Girls website. So
perfect.
You'll find it all there, one-stop shop.
Awesome, and we'll get that all in the show notes as well, so that everybody can click on it and find it there. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come out, and hopefully people can check out their book and it helps them, and if not, they can reach out to you and see if that helps more.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.